40 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
AP News. I'm Ed Donahue. It's a good news, not so good news situation. After the Labor Department reported 263,000 jobs were created in November, Bankrate.com's Mark Hamrick says the I word, inflation, is seeping in.
On the one hand, this is a report suggesting that the economy is continuing to grow. It's good news for American workers, but yes, inflation is a problem that's still very much with us.
While jobs are available, they are hard to fill, forcing employers to hike wages. President Biden signed a bill today that averts a freight rail strike. The European Union reached a deal for a $60 per barrel price cap on Russian oil. White House advisor John Kirby says it will limit Vladimir Putin's oil profits
and limit his ability to continue to use that money to fund his war machine.
Poland long held up the agreement, trying to set the cap as low as possible. A Ukrainian official says Ukrainian embassies and consulates in six European countries have received packages containing animals' eyes in recent days. They're trying to figure out why they were sent. InfoWars host Alex Jones has filed for personal bankruptcy.
Facing nearly $1.5 billion in court judgments over his conspiracy theories about the Sandy Hook massacre, Alex Jones has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. His documents in a Houston court list $1 to $10 billion in liabilities owed to 50 to 99 creditors and $1 to $10 million in assets. The bankruptcy filing comes as Jones faces court orders to pay damages to relatives of victims of the 2012 Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting for calling the massacre a hoax. I'm Shelley Adler.
South Korea advanced to the round of 16 at the World Cup after beating Portugal. This is AP News.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get him a shirt from Untuckit. Untuckit shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep him looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with their super soft flannels, wrinkle-free shirts, performance shirts with stretch, and cozy sweaters that are all perfect for right now. They even have a line for her. Find the perfect gift for every guy on your list at one of 80-plus Untuckit stores or at Untuckit.com. Untuckit. Shirts designed to be worn untucked.
We tried Dynavite for gut health and immune support, and after a couple of weeks, our little Gizmo was acting like a puppy again. His coat was shinier, he had a lot less scratching and shedding, and he seemed like his happy old self.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Get 10% off your next order of Dynavite nutritional supplements for dogs at Dynavite.com.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hi, it's Don Brown, host of This Week in Waukesha, inviting you to catch our coverage of this year's 2022 Waukesha Christmas Parade, Sunday, December 4th. The coverage starts at 3, the parade starts at 4. We'll be live in front of the Walk Radio studios talking to the marchers, the participants, the fans, and all the people that make this parade in this community a very special place. Waukesha Christmas Parade, covered here on Walk Radio 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. It's cold and flu season, all right. Hospital beds and doctors' waiting rooms are filling up around Wisconsin with an uptick in RSV, the flu, and COVID-19. Health officials say the problem's being made worse by staffing shortages. Hospitals and clinics around the country report the same issues. 10 people are charged in connection with a methamphetamine ring in Fond du Lac. Prosecutors say the suspects delivered more than 100 pounds of meth worth more than $1 million this year. 3 more suspects were still on the loose as of yesterday. They're all facing a number of drug charges. In sports, Marquette beat Ball State in the opening round of the college women's volleyball tournament last night. Wisconsin hosts Quinnipiac tonight. Also tonight, the Bucks take on the Lakers. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten.
Well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. It is our final hour of the week. It is Friday. I am ready for the weekend. Thank you for listening across the Civic Media Network, Waukesha, Wausau, Amory, Oshkosh, Richland Center, Madison tonight. Join the conversation. You are always welcome, 844-967-2789, to round out this week and today. Good friend of the show, back for the third time, comedian Laura Lyons is here because she has been in NPR, she's been in the Daily Beast, she's written things that have been published before, but you recently, I think right before I left for my vacation, I saw that you had a new article in the Daily Beast. We didn't get to get you on before I left town, so now here you are to sit to talk about the 8 things you should never say to someone with long COVID.
Yes, hello, everyone. Thank you for having me back.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm lots of doctor's appointments that were up and down, but we're just going with the flow.
How's the weather in Worcester right now?
I love how you say Worcester.
How are you supposed to say it? Worcester?
Worcester. Oh, it's like Worcestershire sauce, kind of.
Why
know
is there
what
two
I mean?
O's then?
Well, no.
There's a, I thought it was W-O-O.
I think that's like Ohio.
Oh, all right. Clearly a Midwest girl.
Yeah, we love a Midwest girl. So yeah, it's been good. It's not been bad, which we love.
So as a reminder, before we get into your advice, remind the audience who may have not heard you on the show before your COVID experience.
Yes, my COVID experience has been going on for 2.5 years. It started on March 24th, 2020. I was admitted to the hospital. They told me, my parents, I had 6 hours to live. They put me in a coma. They med helicoptered me to Boston, and I was put on ECMO, which is the last form of life support someone can be on, as well as a ventilator, feeding tube, and trach. And I was there for months. Overall, I was in the hospital for over 5 months, so for half a year. I was paralyzed, voiceless. I had to learn how to walk, talk, eat, sleep, all of it. And for the past 2.5 years, it's just been this journey. I'm still on oxygen and primarily in a wheelchair because of my lung scarring. So, you know, we're taking every day with a happiness and a grain of salt at the same time.
Absolutely. So with that, what are some of the things that you shouldn't say to someone struggling with long COVID?
Yeah. So I was inspired from this article because there are some well-intentioned people, and then there's some people that are really out of pocket. And it took me a while to write this article because I was just accumulating things that people were saying that either sounded really passive, that wasn't helpful, or some were just kind of mean, some were misogynistic. You know, it's a plethora of things that you hear when you're chronically ill, especially in a political climate that is politicized, this disease. You're kind of used as a puppet in a lot of ways. It's really bizarre. So I decided I'm going to take these annoyances and write an article about it. So essentially, it goes from the passive to the agitating ones all over. First one is just think positively, which I say in the article, basically, I want to invest in Wayfair because the amount of pillows I have to scream into would increase their stock prices. Because you just, if someone tells you to think positively, it's like, do you want to trade wearing a diaper at the age of 33 and throwing up with fractured ribs? I don't think so. So, you know, I'm a positive person, but if I have to say I'm really tired because I had a 14-hour coughing fit, it's like, let me say that and not kind of shut it down with a think positively thing. Mm-hmm. Another one is, you know, you look so happy on social media. All of us show the highlight reels of social media, right? But when you're chronically ill, you're only showing the good parts primarily. And I'm a repressed New Englander who's half Irish. So like, I'm going to be as repressed as possible. So I'm not going to be like crying on, I mean, maybe I should, so people actually know how horrible it is. But yeah, it's tough when you have to keep up with the digital Joneses, mm-hmm. especially when you're a comedian and you're so tired and you have chronic fatigue and you're on steroids, you're off steroids, your sleep is out of control. So yeah, I think it's that kind of what you see isn't the reality, especially with someone who has long COVID. And then the next one is manifest being healthy, which
feels a lot like think positively.
It does. It's this kind of new wave of the wellness industry that's like very, if you can think it, you can do it. And it's like, yeah, but racism, homophobia, and misogyny exist. Like, I can't just think positively and racism goes away. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, there's this kind of, you have bad energy. Let me push you away and negate what you're saying type of movement. And I actually talked to a Buddhist chaplain about this.
Excuse me, what?
A Buddhist chaplain.
What is a Buddhist chaplain?
She's Buddhist, but she goes to hospitals and aftercare outpatient groups. And I got to talk to her and I was like, I'm really struggling with people saying, you know, the manifest and the positivity. And I want to get your input because mm-hmm. it all kind of started this westernized version of Buddhism, you know, and yoga and all this stuff. And I was like, I really want to get your view on this. And she said, toxic positivity is like swallowing poison. It's horrible for you. And she said, you have to admit if you're having a bad day or if you need more support or you need to be vocal and it's actually not good for you, which I thought was very interesting. And it kind of leads me into the next one of you should do apple cider vinegar shots every morning.
Which that for any person is not proven to be like the thing to do. Because I've looked it up and it's not, I don't know if there's a ton of science behind any health benefits of that. Let alone for your situation.
Right. Like, I don't know if there's lobbyists trying to push apple cider vinegar or something because, honey, the amount of recos of apple cider vinegar, or I should say ACV for short. It's really wild because it's like I can take vitamin D every day, which I do, and yet my lungs are still scarred. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like there's these suggestions, which as someone who, you know, is going to MGH in Boston that has some of the best doctors, like we're getting that information. So we don't really need kind of the have you tried vitamin D yet type of thing, you know, and it just goes back of this new wellness industry. I mean, in the US, it's worth over $50 billion on its own. So I kind of say now that the wellness industry is for already able-bodied, mentally healthy people, it really doesn't help disabled people and people have real depression, anxiety, and all this stuff. It's kind of just this Pleasantville utopian band-aid on really what's going on in the world. You know what I mean? So those type of things like are not helpful. And then you deal with then the extreme, really, you know, anti-vaxxers and COVID is a hoax. And it does get laborious after a while of people fighting in my comments on, you know, say TikTok or social media saying, I had this one person say I was a sheep because I got COVID.
You're a sheep for getting COVID.
I was a sheep for getting COVID. And then someone said, prove to me that you're sick now because of COVID and not the vaccine. Now, I got COVID in March 2020 when the vaccine did not exist. So it's a little infuriating. And then I get people asking me if I'm dating. Now, this is one of the funniest things because, as I mentioned before, I'm in a diaper. I don't think this will lead to anything. I don't want to kink shame anyone. You do you, boo. But that's not my bag. You know what I mean? I'm not really into it. And I basically was not a volunteer in this. You know what I mean? So there's that. And then, you know, then there's the just breathe. People who are like, just take sips, just take breaths. And I'm like, I'm on oxygen 24/7. Like, yeah, I know about breathing. And it's kind of a luxury, you know, you kind of take advantage of every breath we all take. And I'm so now aware of it, of every single breath that I take now.
I'm going to cut you off before you do the last one, because I want to talk. I feel like there's a bigger conversation around this last one, because so much of what your advice, and it's very funny when you read the article, because you are a comedian, Laura Lyons. But it is, I think, like you said, it's not just long COVID. It's anyone dealing with a disability or a chronic illness or this. When you try to talk to someone who is, it's hard to put yourself in their shoes of what they're going through. Trying to guide them as far as what is not helpful. And so I think it is well worth the read. So if you want to look up on the Daily Beast, Laura Lyons, the 8 things you should never say to someone who has who's with long COVID, you can look that up. She's going to be here until 12:45, though. And so you can stay tuned to As Goes Wisconsin to hear more of Laura Lyons.
Just before you draw your terminal breath. Life's a piece of shit when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's a joke, it's true. You'll see it's all a show. Keep them laughing as you go. Just remember that the last laugh is on you. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life. Look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you forgot.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice. Where your mouth is, be about that.
Christ.
Tune in to The Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. A wind advisory begins at 2 a.m. early tomorrow morning and continues until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with highs around 48. Winds out of the south, 15 to 20 miles an hour. Chance for mixed precipitation tonight, 17. Overcast skies, tomorrow high of 25. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Ain't got no cash, ain't got no style, ain't got no gal to make you smile, but don't worry, be happy. When you're worried,
welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this hour is Laura Lyons, who is a comedian, and we're talking about her newest article in The Daily Beast, 8 Things You Should Never Say to Someone Living with Long COVID. But a lot of these pieces of advice can be applied in many different scenarios as far as someone dealing with chronic illness or a disability or someone who is grieving. And so I wanted to hold off on you talking about your number 8 out of 8 piece of advice. And so what is that one?
Exactly. It's something that if you have a loved one that's passed away, if someone is in a car accident that's injured, someone that's sick, the passive kind of comment, which usually is well-intended, is the, let me know if there's anything I can do. 9 times out of 10, that person is not going to let you know that there's anything that they need, because they don't want to be a burden on a lot of people, especially if it's a friend of a friend or, you know, a family member's coworker or something like that. Like, you're never going to ask out of your kind of core group of supporters that you need help. So rather than that, I absolutely recommend doing more active things like sending notes, little gifts. Food is a really big one, especially if someone's chronically ill or grieving. It's an energy thing, right? Like, if someone's really sad that someone's passed away, they're not going to have the effort to make a home-cooked meal. And it's the same if you're chronically ill. It takes a lot of energy to cook. For example, for me, my lung capacity isn't good. So Standing up takes a while and it's a lot of effort. So to get something out of the refrigerator is a huge deal for me. And coming back, I'll have a coughing fit, all of that. So the food one is actually a really big thing. And if you're not in the area where you can just drop off food at their door, there's so many great shipping options now for great food. Like, if someone misses New York bagels, there's Zabar's that delivers all over the country.
And
you know what I mean? Oh my God, no, but they're so good, but no. But yeah, so, or like chocolate that they miss from something or something special between the both of you. Memories is really good because that person is probably also grieving a lot of fear of missing out because They're chronically ill or they're so sad that they can't participate in activities. So they're kind of by the sidelines. So if you send these gifts that have a lot of meaning or just are really thoughtful, it feels like, okay, I'm still a part of this person's life, even though I physically can't be there. So I recommend a lot of like great memories, food, comfort, and to be like, I'm thinking of you. And those things are so helpful.
And it's so interesting because I remember more specifically in the time of someone grieving, of it is such an easy thing to say of like, let me know if there's something I can help. Because and I think people genuinely mean it. But like you said, it's like that's still putting the burden on the person who is sick or grieving or that you were trying to help, but it's putting them in the position to tell you what they need help with versus saying, can I drive you somewhere? Can I get you food? Can like being more specific of how you can help. And so do you think it's better just not to say anything instead of saying that or asking?
It's actually really frustrating.
Yeah. I'm serious.
To be honest, because it's almost like, you know, when someone, you're at a dinner party at a house and someone's like, oh, do you need any help? And they have no intention of actually helping you. It's like, that's kind of worse because it's like, you're not going to do anything. So why are you even volunteering just so you can seem kind of this like volunteering hero, but you actually aren't going to do anything? It's almost like a weird virtue signaling, you know? So I would say if you want to actually be there for someone, be there for them in whatever it is, gifts, notes. It doesn't have to be expensive. It can just be a great note or a text or a funny email or like book recommendations or TV recommendations just to show that you're thinking of them. That is so much more helpful. I think the empty gestures and the platitudes get really exhausting after a while. And they do become burdensome. So I think either help or don't, I think is kind of my biggest advice, you know?
Laura, the next time someone tells you to manifest health, I want you to get their phone number for me so I can call them and we can have a little chat.
Love you so much. Like, you do not mess around, and that is why you're one of my favorite people in this world, because it really is. And in the article I write, like, do you think I really manifested me being in a wheelchair? Like, do you think on my vision board I had a concentrator that pumps oxygen into my nose? I didn't think so. I wasn't on Pinterest pinning oxygen tanks and transport chairs and cushions for my tushy for the transport chair because it's really hurts a lot. You know what I mean? So I think 5-year plans, they don't exist as well. I have talked to many therapists and spiritual leaders and all this stuff, and they're like, it's just a way for you to feel like you have control, but we don't have control whatsoever.
Exactly. All right. Well, we're going to keep you through the break. When we come back, we're going to move on and have a bigger conversation around why women aren't funny, the role of humor in our moral virtues. And so stick with us. Laura Lyons will be here when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy now. Don't worry.
Be. The Shaw 101 FM. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season.
And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
I'm Ed Donahue with an AP News Minute. The Labor Department says 263,000 jobs were added last month.
This is a better than expected jobs report, particularly when you look at the number of jobs added on the month, 263,000. The expectation was about 200,000 jobs added.
But Bankrate.com's Mark Hamrick says with not enough people available to fill the jobs, businesses are having to offer higher pay to attract and keep workers, and that's not helping the fight against inflation.
The Federal Reserve looks at that and believes that it has more work to do with respect to interest rate increases. And of course, we have a Federal Reserve meeting looming in the middle part of the month, and there is the expectation we will have another rate increase then.
But President Biden is pointing out the positives in the jobs report.
Things are moving. They're moving in the right direction.
The president says Americans are working. The economy is growing. Inflation has been something of a moving target during the Biden presidency. I'm Ed Donahue.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get him a shirt from Untuck It. Untuck It shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep him looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with their super soft flannels, wrinkle-free shirts, performance shirts with stretch, and cozy sweaters that are all perfect for right now. They even have a line for her. Find the perfect gift for every guy on your list at one of 80-plus Untuck It stores or at untuckit.com. Untuck It. Shirts designed to be worn untucked.
We tried Dynavite for gut health and immune support, and after a couple of weeks, our little Gizmo was acting like a puppy again. His coat was shinier, he had a lot less scratching and shedding, and he seemed like his happy old self.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Get 10% off your next order of Dynavite nutritional supplements for dogs at Dynavite.com.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Mattner with your headlines. Senate Democratic leader Melissa Agard shared a Democratic radio address with WisPolitics.com, pointing out that Wisconsin's local governments are responsible for providing health and safety services to communities, including law enforcement, fire protection, and EMS services. More than 30 municipalities asked their residents to increase tax dollars to directly make up the more than 16% increase in public safety costs. This is money residents are already paying in taxes and should be coming back to them through shared revenue, but in recent years, legislative Republicans have cut shared revenue payments by 9%. Agard called on all lawmakers in Wisconsin to support Governor Evers' plan to invest in public safety using a portion of Wisconsin's $6.6 billion surplus to provide local governments with the resources they need. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Charge of stuff and we want to get paid the same. And then there's other feminists that are like, we want to free the nipple on Instagram. It's like, hey, can we focus? I know she's more fun, but can we focus? It's like if during the Revolutionary War, if some soldiers were like, we want to be independent. And then other soldiers were like, we want to free the nipple on Instagram. You'd be like, yeah, maybe England should stay in charge of you. You sound like you'd be fairly irresponsible. It's just hard for me to even believe that that was a woman's idea. Sounds like a man infiltrated a meeting and he was like, we gotta get these nipples on Instagram. Did you hear we can't? It's not fair for the women. You know me, my main concern is the women. Some feminists that are like, we
want to
be in charge.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry on the Civic Media Network. Hello, Waukesha, Wausau, Amory, Oshkosh, Richland Center, Madison tonight, on the app, on the podcast. We are rounding out this week. Today's Friday, last half hour of the show, and my friend of the show, Laura Lyons, comedian, is here, and we found these. I have never heard of this. It's a digital magazine called Psyche, and they have two different articles that I felt like there was no one I wanted to talk about it more than with you, having you on. And so one I think is very obvious. Well, both are obvious compared on, but one is how humor is a moral virtue. even in dark times. And the other is a historical, the historical accuracy of why women aren't funny. And so where should we start, Laura Lyons?
I feel like we should start with the sense of humor. Even a dark sense of humor is a good virtue to have.
I agree. Because
I think it's interesting what this article talks about.
I totally agree. So it's in Psyche magazine, a sense of humor, even a dark one, is a moral virtue. And it was written by Mark Alfano, who's an associate professor of philosophy, and Mandy Estola, who's a lecturer of philosophy at Delft University. And a lot of the examples they give in the article is talking about the humor that we've seen play out in the Ukraine-Russian war and like how humor is used against power, but also used, it's like, you can't laugh, what else can you do? And I feel like when I was reading this article, it reminded me of, did you watch Dairy Girls?
I just finished it this morning.
So good. I haven't seen the most recent season of it, but this is a show where it's a fictional show that's produced right now, but the context is early 90s Ireland. So during the dark times of the Civil War that was happening, where randomly, like, the resistance would be bombing bridges and you would have to go around. But like, that is like the backdrop of the show. The main plot of the show, these high school girls who are ridiculous. And if you watch it, I highly recommend putting on the subtitles because it is a very thick Irish accent, but I remember,
Northern Irish
Northern
too.
It's Irish, like, yes.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
But I remember listening to a interview with the creator of the show, showrunner of the show, who this is based off her life. And she said, I just remember the women of that time being so funny, because that's a survival tactic as well.
Absolutely. I think sometimes the funniest people have to survive. I mean, that's a huge trope, but I do think it's true in a lot of ways, and it's the only way to heal and to cope and to get through something. And those examples of the Ukraine-Russian war, I mean, we all have heard about the Ukrainian grandmother giving the sunflower seeds mm-hmm. to the Russian soldiers, saying there, when your corpse is in the ground, there'll be flowers that come from it. And I think it's really important, especially dark humor. And it's so funny, the Dairy Girls, I was watching it this morning, I finished season 3, and I thought the same thing of, these girls in high school just wanted to live regular lives. They couldn't, but they still had incredible wit to them. Mm-hmm. And I think that wit becomes really complex, which is more interesting and sarcastic and deadpan. And there's so many levels to it that I think is really important. And the article basically talks about it being a moral virtue, which I never really thought about before.
Yeah,
but yeah, and that was so fascinating, because they said it goes back to ancient Greece, when Aristotle had this phrase called the golden mean, which basically meant good traits are in between bad examples. Like, courage is good because it's in between cowardness and having no fear at all. And that is a way to temper your emotions. So you kind of go into the world with people being authentic and they authentically respecting you. And humor is a great healing tool, and also a way to make your emotions, if they're going up or down, you can use humor to kind of neutralize them. And I never thought of it that way. And I thought that was really interesting. And, you know, it's like me, even when we were talking about when people say, think positively and I have to scream into a pillow, it's like that neutralizes it and it makes it a joke versus having anger or sadness, those kind of extreme emotions. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was really interesting how in dire conditions that like aren't conducive to being happy, you still can use this quote-unquote moral virtue to have respect and to live in kind of a happy condition, even though everything around you isn't good.
Well, and one of the other points they make there is what our sense of humor is and what we find funny is also a signal of what our values are. And so sometimes it is used as a tool to vet out who aligns with our values. Because if you make a joke and they don't laugh at it, it's like, well, maybe I don't like you that much anyways. and I felt like that was a bridge to the other article, the say in also in Psyche, which is the history of women not being funny, and an actual historian trying to mark how did this trope or this stereotype happen. And it's two women, I think three women, who fancy ourselves as funny people. I also wonder how much it is true of, well, there's just certain men who don't find us funny, because the things we find funny as women and women who tell jokes. So, well, maybe you just don't get it, dude.
Yeah, and it's the it is really interesting, because, you know, 10 years ago we kind of accepted male humor as the only thing, and it was King, and that was it, and we were going to hear the difference between men and women and how much they hated their wives and their girlfriends, and we just took it. And it's funny, the evolution of humor, especially in that article. But yeah, it's they're not the authority on what's funny. And I think that has shifted so much, even in the past 10 years, of like, it's okay for them not to laugh, because that doesn't mean you're not funny.
Yeah.
Which I think is a huge thing that's changed over the past decade, for sure.
We're talking to Laura Lyons, who is a comedian based out of Worcester.
Based
out of the East Coast, about two different articles that we found in psyche.co, which is where you can find it. And this one is just, when in history did men decide that women are not funny? And it was interesting, because one of the things they point out is that as things become either profitable or a sign of respect, because one of the things that they said that women used to do, which I did not know, that in medieval times, the brewmasters were women. That, like, brewing beer was a woman's role, until that shifted and it becomes, well, only men do this. And I think that is another male-dominated, as I have friends who work in the beer industry, like, it is. It's a very male-dominated thing. And so, like, tell me, it happened, but kind of around Freud, right? Is that what you picked out of the article?
Yes. That before then, women and humor was suppressed and oppressed in a different light, but it was never that women aren't funny. It was women have to be demure and not laugh, because that means that, you know, they're not pure or Christian, like all of that. But then in the 20th century, Freud basically said, you know, women aren't funny because they are less complex psychic development, quote, that he said. And it's the castration fear of the superego. Like, then it became kind of this, like, oh, women actually don't have it in their body to be funny. Which I find, it's so interesting, because I've heard growing up, women aren't funny. I mean, I still hear it, like, on TikTok and all of that. And, but it's interesting that it stems from that, because beforehand, even during like the witch trials, it was never a tick on the list of why a woman should be tried in a trial of, oh, she's too funny, you know? And so it kind of revolutionized. I mean, it basically stems from money and misogyny, of what you're saying, of basically after the 17th century, like during the 18th century, it was kind of commodifying with humor on stage, and it was bringing audiences. But because delivering jokes is kind of this like aggressive, assertive, confident thing, they didn't want women to be on stage because of that. So then in the 19th century, when it became really profitable, they pushed women to the side. So it just kind of kept pushing the stereotype of a woman not being funny, but it was just because they could make money off of it. So they steered women away from it.
Laura, I am going to laugh about Freud's women aren't complex enough to be funny, but men are.
Truly. Truly. I was saying earlier, I had a TikTok that was just really, it was dark humor, really sarcastic about, you know, my doctors being like, yeah, we don't know how long you're going to live for. And the men in the comments were like, did not get it. They didn't comprehend it. They tried to like mansplain things to me. And I'm like, buddy, this is dark humor. I don't know what to tell you, like all this stuff. So it's fascinating. Freud is, you know, a little devil over there.
A little devil. But it is interesting because I feel like in that article, they reference only 10-ish years ago. What was it in Vanity Fair that someone, they literally published an entire article about trying to make an evolutionary argument of why men are funnier than women because of they need to like woo in the
main
cycle of human existence that men had to woo women with their wit and all we had to be was fertile. And it's like, who signed off on this? And that wasn't even that long ago that they published
it. It was in Vanity Fair.
Yes, I know.
And I tell you what, they think they're hilarious.
Hilarious.
Almost every man thinks he's hilarious.
Lord, I know you were, when we were friends in New York, you were doing more sketch and improv and stuff. Did you ever do stand-up?
I opened with a dead friend joke and it was crickets.
So, do you still remember the joke? Speaking of dark humor.
Yeah, it was.
Is it okay for radio?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we say like murder on radio?
Yeah.
Okay. So I said, my friend was running in broad daylight and was burned alive and murdered. And my friend told me, and I said, yet another reason not to run.
Jay liked it. Oh my God. That is pretty dark. That is a pretty dark
joke. Dark Tina. And when I tell you the room went silent, it wasn't white noise. It wasn't crickets. It was outer space silence. That dust. You could hear dust. It was that quiet. And I had to just, I don't know, recover and talk about. I talked about Bravo for the rest of the 10 minutes because I was like, I don't know where to go from here.
Andy Cohen. Okay.
Yeah. Let's keep it light, I guess. People.
Oh, all right. Well, friend, so fun to have you on the show. We'll probably have you back on in the new year. I hope you stay healthy and happy and just stay positive, Laura Lyons.
I'm going to stay positive and take vitamin D.
All right. We'll see you next time. Have a great day, friend.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
All right. Stick around. Mama, the mother of Christmas, Debbie Rye, ends the show with us this week. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
It's so easy to do. Just let yourself be ignorant to what's been done to you. Save the rich by doing nothing at all.
The Downtown Waukesha Christmas Parade is Sunday, December 4th, and WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM is proud to cover all the festivities. Parade coverage starts at 3 p.m. The coverage is brought to you by Mia's Kitchen and Pizzeria, delicious, fresh, homestyle Italian, and Planned Parenthood. Care no matter what. Affordable health care without judgment. Book your appointment today at ppwi.org. And Albanese's Roadhouse, authentic Italian family restaurant, sports bar and grill.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A wind advisory begins at 2 a.m. early tomorrow morning and continues until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. overcast this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 48. Southerly winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Chance for mixed precipitation. Lows level off around 17. Tomorrow, highs around 25. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and special guest in studio to round out my first week back after vacation. In studio, sitting across from me, the mother of Christmas, my mother, Debbie Bry. How you doing, Mom?
I'm good. I'm the mother of Christmas and the mother of Kristen.
There you go. It was a big family show. Dad was on earlier. He had to call in. But how do you feel about women being funny?
I do think we are funny, and I think it helps us get through a lot of tough stuff.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I would say, Dad's probably listening, but I would say, I think my sense of humor comes a little bit, he's more sarcastic.
Yeah.
But you're goofier.
Yeah.
I think exactly. I get my goofiness from you.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Considering yesterday, as the mother of Christmas, you were in town and you took it upon yourself to Christmas-fy our house, and it looks excellent. And I walked
Thank
in.
You.
So I worked until like six. I hadn't been home all day. Mama Bri had been in the house. Taking what Christmas decorations we had and perfecting them across our new home. And I walked in and she was wearing a Santa hat and she said, "Alexa, play the Hallelujah Chorus by Neil Diamond." And so I walked into the house, that song was blaring and she was just like dancing and singing to the song and showing off of her work and everything she had done that day. And it was perfection, mother.
Thank you. Well, only because that's our song, isn't it?
That is our song.
It's our song.
It's also the song I played after the end of my ceremony. I surprised Mike with because people now after they kiss the bride play, the Star Wars theme or whatever they want. And so he didn't care. He's like, "I don't care what you play." So I surprised everyone. And that was what I played at the end of the ceremony.
It's a great one.
Did you say we have a text about women being funny?
About women being funny. Yeah. But he had texted earlier when we were talking to the professor from Marquette about Les Miserables and the history of that. And he said, "Am I a terrible person if I don't like that musical? I love musical theater and I can't stand Les Mis." And I said, "No, you're fine as long as you like Spamalot. If you didn't like Spamalot, then we're going to have some issues." But then he also said, "I've never heard or thought about women not being funny. I'm a male in my mid-40s. I grew up with Carol Burnett, all of the women on SNL. It's never crossed my mind. Sorry, it is a struggle."
Yeah. I mean, I think that is, it's such a funny thing that that's still this stereotype when you think of the women throughout, specifically the 20th and now obviously the 21st century, but like Lucille Ball, Carol Burnett.
Phyllis Diller, Mary Tyler Moore, Valerie Harper. I mean, I can list off a whole, Joan Rivers.
Yes, absolutely. And so I think it's debunked and it's just people who don't get the joke that still think that women aren't funny. But at least while you're here, Mom, we were talking about this a little bit yesterday as far as the best Christmas things to do across Wisconsin. But what would you say some of your favorite Christmas, either things you've done or things you look forward to every year?
Well, I love to ride around and look at the lights, and I always appreciate when people put all that effort into decorating. I was trying to think of the places in Wisconsin Rapids that would be good to mention, and I could not give any addresses because I didn't know the addresses. But, there's a lot of people who take a ton of time. There's one person in our town that you go by and that you can sit out in front, and it's hooked up to the radio. And you can listen in your car. And so that's a lot of effort to make other people feel happy and joyful. So I think I love that because, I like to decorate. So I do decorate for holidays, for Christmas and big time for Halloween, right?
Yes, big time for Halloween.
Christmas is a little bit more traditional for me, so I don't do lots and lots of lights. But I do love lights. I do like when we can go someplace and hear Christmas music. I like to eat.
Where do you think your love of Christmas? Truly, I mean, I think good friend Colleen Marion growing up, she always used to describe our house at Christmas like Santa threw up on it, and which is a compliment. But we have lots of Santa. You go so hard for decorating for Christmas. Like, where do you feel like that came from as far as really putting so much effort into leaning into the holiday?
Well, I think we grew up always really enjoying the holiday, all the holidays, but Christmas was real special because all the family would come to our house and we would be packed in because we had a little house. My mom made it really fun and with lots of traditions and things, but I think it was that as the beginning, and then, you know, I like to collect stuff, so I... I started collecting my mom gave me my first Santa Claus, and I started a collection that now is quite big. Not as big as many, but mine is nice.
Who has a bigger Santa Claus collection? Who's a private, not like...
There's people out there with thousands.
Yeah, that you've seen?
No, I've seen on TV and stuff like that. No, I haven't seen him, but there's people that collect all different things, and I am kind of a collector, which now I guess is kind of a big mistake because I've been told my children don't want any of it. So
that's not true. You passed on
a couple things, but
look at the things
what
you
I've
just
been
set
told
up in the
is,
house.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think we bought any of that. That's all gifted by you.
Well, it's the kind of person that I am, honey.
See, you're funny.
But I don't know. It just has always been there. You know, I grew up and my dad owned a small store and I worked in there and I did the decorating in there. Maybe that's where it started. I kind of had free reign to do what I wanted in there, and I've always enjoyed decorating everything, not just Christmas time, but I enjoy doing things in the house. So
yeah,
it's in my blood.
You're very good at it.
Thank you.
Tom from West Dallas threw in another funny lady on the text line at 844-967-2789, Fran Drescher.
Oh yeah.
Danny.
Yeah.
Lots of funny ladies.
Yeah, there are lots.
There are. I think we've debunked that, but it was more interesting of that article. I'll send it to you. It's just just the history of any of these things, of how things develop. I can't remember what it was, but I even saw one the other day on a TikTok of how we got the term soccer, right? Like there's a story behind almost everything that we just assume is nothing just is. There's always something behind it.
Yeah.
And so you're heading back to Rapids?
I am. I'm going to go north.
Got any plans for the weekend besides sitting and watching with Dad the Marquette and Badger game?
I'll be decorating.
Oh. So is my house further along than your house
yours
right now?
Is far, far more along than mine is. I got lots to do. So I've done your treats. Now I'll go and get my business done.
All the Christmas. Yep. The North Pole. We'll say that our house always looks like the North Pole, not that Santa threw up on it. It's a nice way to put it.
Better. Yeah. Yeah. Colleen, my favorite girl. And then she says that about me.
She said it. But, she said it as a compliment.
Yeah. No, I know it. Today is a big day.
Oh, yeah.
Grandma's birthday.
Carol Bry, 91.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, my grandmother, your mother-in-law, Dad's mom, 91 years old today, still kicking. Anyone who was at our wedding couldn't believe that she was 90, let alone now she's 91. So very happy birthday to her. Are you guys celebrating with her when you get back at all?
Well, I won't be back in time because I didn't think I was going, but they're going out for a fish fry, which, of course, you know, I can't
do. You can't do anyways.
So they're going to be going out to the restaurant of her choice and having fun.
All right.
I just spoke with her while I was waiting to come on. So
perfect. That's a good reminder for me to give her a call after this show.
That's a good idea.
All right. Well, Mom, thanks so much for closing out this week's show with me.
Sure thing,
you're a big
honey.
Number one fan.
I am always
fun to have you on here.
Thank you.
And
it's always fun to see you.
That'll do it for this week. We will be back on Monday. Everyone have a safe, fun, relaxing weekend, and we'll talk to you soon. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Christmas vacation. Christmas vacation. Christmas vacation. Feel so glad it's Christmas vacation. Fa la 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 and ho ho ho. Jingle jangle jingle as we go. Let the spirit.
The Downtown Waukesha Christmas Parade is Sunday, December 4th, and WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM is proud to cover all the festivities. Parade coverage starts at 3 p.m. The coverage is brought to you by Mia's Kitchen and Pizzeria, delicious, fresh, homestyle Italian, and Planned Parenthood. Care no matter what. Affordable health care without judgment. Book your appointment today at ppwi.org. And Albanese's Roadhouse, authentic Italian family restaurant, sports bar, and grill.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the...
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.